This is, as has already been mentioned, our missions month, and we'll highlight various mission points our church partners with and supports globally, but also locally, under the title this month, Commissioned. You know, we sort of have a church mantra here, gather, grow, go. Gather, we want to gather in larger groups to worship and in smaller groups to connect. And we want to grow as lifelong, enthusiastic followers of Jesus Christ through this traditional spiritual disciplines of Bible study, prayer, and generosity. And then we want to go. Go make a difference for Jesus. Starting at home, in the church, in the community, and beyond. And so we're highlighting our various GO ministries and initiatives, all the while, listen carefully, all the while acknowledging that most of the good done by this church happens organically. It happens organically. What you do at home, what you do on the job site, what you do as a vessel of the Holy Spirit as you respond to various situations. And so I want to acknowledge that and just commend you for that. I mean, you function so well as the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And it's sort of interesting, isn't it, when you think about mission work, that it's even sort of controversial in our day and age, with an aroma of pluralism and universalism. Sometimes churches are chided and criticized for having the audacity to promote the message of Jesus Christ. It's like, you know, one message is as good as any other. But I believe, in our church leadership here, we believe that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, the life, that He is Lord, that He is Savior, that salvation is found in His name, and that there's nothing as exciting, really, as befriending, loving, leading, influencing someone towards faith in Jesus Christ. And we want there to simply be an epidemic of changed lives around the world. Well, let me put a map up here on our screens. And you saw this map earlier. This map highlights our five international mission points. Haiti, Honduras, Colombia, Uganda, Nepal. Next week, Grant Wright is going to walk you through some of the exciting work done at these international points. But I want you to also notice right here in Texas, Sugar Land, Texas, the First Colony Church of Christ. Yes, we want to be a church that has a global imprint, but also a local imprint. And so when you hear about various ministries talked about, Arms of Hope, Impact, Lifeline Chaplaincy, Second Mile, Friends Speak, Movie Under the Moon, Gospel Conversations, our work in Four Corners, at Holly Elementary, Hearts and Hammers. You'll hear these various mission and ministry opportunities talked about throughout the course of the year. And because there's an emphasis locally as well. Let me just, I want to highlight just a few local things. You hear us talk about Friends Speak. What is Friends Speak? Well, currently, we have about 80 volunteers in our church, and they read with 120 international readers. These international readers come to us to learn English, but they use the Bible in a simple workbook form, starting with the book of Luke, to teach English and have meaningful conversations. And the very first principle of the Friends Speak ministry is this: the Word of God is the teacher, and we are simply the illustration. And so many seeds have been planted through this ministry. The very first baptism that happened with a woman, Nancy Howell, was reading with her. And this woman was from China. Her name is Kuking. And she was excited to learn about Jesus. She had never read the Bible before. And she had to travel and work in China often, but she always took her Friends Speak book with her and continued to study back and forth with Nancy. And she was the very first person baptized into Christ as a result of that ministry. Last year, we baptized a gentleman by the name of Max. Max is from Japan, And his reader is Judy DeSantis. And they met together every Wednesday out here. His heart was open. He studied diligently. And as I mentioned, he was baptized in March. He had to move back to Japan, but he is still a part. He found a church there. He's part of a strong Christian group, continues to worship and serve the Lord there. Let me put a photo up here on the screen. There's a photo of Emily, Wyatt, and Tracy. Now, in our first service, Tracy sits right over here. Dalton, right behind where you are. All right? And Tracy uses a translation app to follow along. Tracy was baptized this past July the 1st, and she started in Friendspeak with Emily. Now, Emily ended up moving to Alaska, and so another lady in our church by the name of Glenda Bentley took over reading with Tracy. But then Glenda moved to Saudi Arabia. So thankfully, Emily moved back from Alaska here, resumed her relationship with Tracy. Tracy's now a Christian. She continues to grow in the Lord. And she assists Janet Gallman. Janet Gallman, a longtime member here. Janet teaches a three-year-old Bible class on Sunday morning, and Tracy is right in there helping her with that. Don Avra, many of you know Don. Don actually had a little posse of three or four guys from the Middle East, and they read and studied together. All of them moved away, moved to another location. But one recently contacted Don. They stay in touch. Don said he's never texted so much in his life. And said, Don, my fiance and I, we want you to do our wedding. And he said, well, I'm not sure I can do that because, as you know, I'm a Christian. I would need it, and I would only do a Christian wedding. So, Don, you don't understand. It's exactly what we want. We want a Christian wedding, and we want you to do it. And so he did. We've got a couple of ladies in our church, Kim Morris and Sasha Lotzi, and every other Wednesday night, they meet with a group of Turkish refugees who are connected with our church. One of the things that these ladies say they miss so much from home is connection with other women, particularly maybe, you know, a mom who can help them deal with issues of just raising children, dealing with husbands, you know. And so every other week, they meet with this group that's all made possible through the Friendspeak ministry. Jenny and Eric Fridge, who teach a lot of, you know, parenting, marriage classes here, they also gather with a group of our Friendspeak readers and have been teaching marriage and parenting information. And it's been incredibly helpful and so well received. I remind you that we live in the greater Houston area in the most diverse city in America, and that Fort Bend County, and I think the seven-county region that makes up the greater Houston area, is the most diverse county. The world, the globe, has come to our doorstep. You know, sometimes people, it's like our community's changing. It is changing. It's much more diverse, and that can be an absolutely beautiful thing, and our Friendspeak ministry taps into that. But, you know, a lot of things happen right here. Just I want to encourage you that even if you don't have children in Sunday school age, you know, little ones, to periodically walk down and go through our Sunday morning classes and offerings down here. Now, you may have to go through security, get a little badge, you know, but it's just so heartwarming and rewarding to see. And to those of you who so consistently teach our children, we thank you for that ministry, because I love seeing adults come to Christ, don't you? But most people have that first leaning to the Lord when they are younger. In fact, it was interesting. Just this past week, Kevin Porter showed me some report cards from those who work in our student ministry with our teens. And our teenagers, our students here, they actually gave out report cards to their group leaders and teachers. Shannon Aaron, she is personal, kind, and caring. By the way, all of these got an A+. Matt Simonek, he always keeps us focused. John and Amy Braswell, they are the best group leaders on earth. Jenny Fridge, she is so hospitable. John Henson, he's just awesome. Brandon Struther, he makes the lesson relate to everyday life. Michelle and John McAnulty, they've just always been there for me. Tracy Struther, she brings her personal experience to the lessons. Johnny Spiegel, he's pretty cool. And she is the nicest person ever. Scott Finley, I look up to him a lot. Bryce Waldron, she entices me to participate. Troy and Christy Roberts, I've known them my whole life, and they're just super fun to hang with. Tommy Waldron, he wears cool socks. Darcy Porter, she's the nicest person I've ever met. Kyle Mickelson, he motivates me. Heather Lynch, her energy to us is radiant. Sam Walker, he makes the Bible practical. Heather, Jason Peters, I love talking to them every week. Aaron and Andrew Leeser, they're inclusive, they're calm, they're spiritual, and they're kind. Eric Fridge, he always has cool ideas. Rachel Simonek, she is so kind to us. Heidi Houston, she always knows just what to say to us. Laurel and James Strickland, they motivate us and move us to participate, and they respect what we have to say. Jenna Manges, she's sweet and adorable, and her husband Matt, he's amazingly calm, and I don't know how in the world he does it. Thank you for that ministry and investing into the lives of our students right here. You'll hear us talk about our prison ministry. You know, for a long time, Gene Cantwell and Dan Florence have led that ministry. And you may not know this, but there are really about four prisons that we have an ongoing presence with. Jester Units 1, 3, and 4, and the Carol Vance Unit. And we have nine men in our church here who weekly have mentoring relationships. Gene Cantwell, Steve Cornelson, Jerry Pace, Sean Jones, Walter Kasky, Peter Cook, Doug Smith, Richard Callahan, James Roney. Bill Grasham is leading two new life behavior classes out there. Gary McLaughlin, who's at our Foster Creek campus, is leading Celebrate Recovery classes and ministries. And at our Jester 1 unit, over the last 3 years, listen to this, they've had over 100 baptisms, and this afternoon they will have their 39th baptism this year at the Jester 1 unit. And this is just a wide open ministry. And I say all this, and some of you are going, well, man, I didn't know anything about that, or that, you know, this is kind of news to me. Listen, it is so good. You are a part of a church where there's more going on than you can possibly know all about. You can't put your thumb over everything. Listen, but there's a place for you, a place for you to serve. And if you'd like to serve in our prison ministry, probably the easiest thing to do is just call our church office, and we can help you. We've got a new participant. Her name is Shauna Monji, and she goes out there every Thursday evening with a group of guys. She's a new member here. She was baptized just a few months ago by Rocky and Ginger Hudson, and she was having her elder welcome conversation with Bill and Tony Grasham. They were going over some ministry opportunities, and she said, you know, I used to be a prison guard. I think that ministry is right down my alley. Now, serving in our prison ministry, it's for men, it's for women. You just have to be over the age of 21, and a lot of beautiful, beautiful things are happening right there. Okay, I want to read a Bible verse, a Bible passage. And let me tell you where I'm going with this Bible passage. Here's where it's going. It's going to end up by saying how beautiful. It's going to give you a word picture. It's going to end up by saying how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the message of Jesus Christ. And here's the picture. Just here you go. You go, and as you go, and as you take the message of Jesus Christ, how beautiful is that? That's where he's going to end up. All right, so let's start reading here at Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and you are saved. And as Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. Listen to this. Here he's summarizing the big picture of the gospel and saying, Jesus Christ provides salvation. It's for you. It's for me. It's not spelled do. It's spelled done. He's done this. Will you respond to Christ? For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses, notice, all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's good news. Jesus didn't go to the cross to make it impossible to be saved. He went to the cross to build that bridge for you and me. Let me put a couple of diagrams on the screen. Here's the first one. The Bible teaches us that there is a chasm. We matter to God. He made us. He wants to have a relationship with us, but we rebelled against him. And both actively and passively, we've all disobeyed him, and our sins have separated us from him and broken off that relationship. Notice there's a chasm. There's a barrier there. You'll notice a couple of arrows there because intuitively we sense that. We know there's a chasm. So what do? We do things to try to get back to God. Hey, I'll start giving to the United Way. I'll pay my taxes. I'll be honest. I'll start telling the truth more. But the Bible is clear. We can't earn our way into God's favor. And so it looks pretty bleak. But the good news is, as I said a moment ago, we matter to God, and he loves us so much that he did for us what we could never, ever do for ourselves. He provided a bridge over which we can find forgiveness and restore our relationship with him. And so there you see the cross of Christ. It's the bridge. We don't earn it, but we can go. We can be reconciled to the Lord. And that's the central message of the Bible, and God's inviting us to move to his side. Now, most people, when presented with this or re-presented with this, the reaction is, I need to think about it for a while. And you do. You need to consider it. But at some point, you make a decision. And here's the central truth, that Christ paid our penalty. He expressed the love of God. He upheld the holiness of God. He satisfied the justice of God. And Paul here in this passage from Romans 10 is saying, this is the greatest message of all. And faith is basically a response to this information. So now let's get back to the passage. So how then, since anyone who calls on the name of the Lord can be saved, how then can they call on the one they've not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them, teaching to them, sharing with them? And how can anyone preach unless they're sent? How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news? And so the mission of the church is to do what? To introduce people to Jesus Christ and then help them get better acquainted with Him. That's it. Now, one of the things that we'll do next Sunday on our special Mission Sunday is we'll receive a special offering. And I'd like to ask you to really think about that and pray about that. Everything you give to that offering goes to our missions ministry here. And I'm going to ask for everybody to participate. Do something. And some of you have been uniquely blessed and postured where you can do quite a bit, and you can move the ball a long way down the field. And I remind you of this beautiful principle from 2 Corinthians chapter 9. It says this. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. But whoever sows generously will also reap generously. And there, he's speaking to the church at Corinth who had their issues, but they were actually, they had been generous in supporting the work of the church and missions opportunities. And he's simply reminding them, he's not fundraising, he's coming back after they had been so generous, and he's saying, you might wonder, does God pay attention to this? God pays attention to this. And you need never worry about being too generous for Him. You sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. But where there is generosity, God sees and He notices. And I'm going to ask you to be generous this month during Missions Month. You can certainly give next week. You can give online. But I hope you'll pray about that and take that step. I close by reminding you of something that Abraham Lincoln, a story from his life. On many Wednesday evenings, he would visit a little Presbyterian church. And Dr. Phineas Gurley, the pastor of that church, would do a Bible study. And Abraham Lincoln would go, rather than causing commotion, he would simply sit in Dr. Gurley's office. They would keep the door open, and so he would sit there and he would listen. And one evening, he's walking back to the White House with a couple of his aides, and one just asked, how was the Bible study that evening? How was the message? And he said, it was good. It was okay. It was well presented. He was well prepared. He just lacked one thing. He didn't ask us to respond. I'm not making that same mistake today. I'm not asking you just to listen about what's going on. It's said that there are three types of people. One type, they make it happen. Second type, they watch what happens. Third type, they stand around and they go, what just happened? I'm going to ask you to join the army of people who help make things happen through your prayers, through your energy, and through your generosity. Would you do that? Think about it and pray about it.